Today we have a special guest directly from Liverpool, and I have to say, first of all, thanks for football events, Jonas Kolkka and Jouni Lilja, that we have a pleasure and I'm honored to have a guest from Liverpool first team, goalkeeper coach John Achtenberg. Welcome, John.
All right, nice to meet you all, and good to speak to the people in Finland.
Yeah, it's sun is shining now in Finland and hopefully also in Liverpool, but can you briefly describe and tell you about your career? What is your coaching and the player career?
Yeah, playing careers. I'm original from Holland, so started in amateur club till about 16, and was playing with 14 in the first team, and then with 16 because Utrecht had nothing else below 16, so I went professional in my hometown Utrecht. I was there 6 years, 3 years with the first team as the number two goalie, and then I went NEC Breda in the Dutch Premier League as well. I went there 3 years to make my debut in the Dutch Eredivisie. I think I played about 15 games. Then the Bosman rule came and I wanted to be number one. So went to Eindhoven in the league below. Was there 2 years, but didn't like the way of professionalism in the team and stuff. And then decided I wanted to go, got a chance back to go to Utrecht as a goalie, but they wanted too much money. And then when the contract finished, I was injured. So then I went to Willem II, where Sami Hyypiä actually was at that time, and I did there my fitness program, and then I could have a trial in Tranmere Rovers in England. They were in the championship, so second tier in England, and I signed a 2 year contract and started playing there. Was there 11 years, and as I retired, basically, I went to Liverpool as a coach. But my coaching career started already when I was in Holland. When I went to Eindhoven, I was already getting my outfield CMB license. And I did coach in Eindhoven the whole academy, including the reserve team goalies. I did the local amateur team, all the youth and the first team goalies. And then when I went in Tranmere, I was starting to do like goalkeeping days, organizing there and stuff like that. But then I had a little stop with it because the club didn't like that I was doing too much coaching. They wanted me to focus and stay the focus on the football. So when I was about 33, from that moment, I got all my licenses sorted up onto the goalkeeping A license, outfield A license, and I did like fitness instructor level 1 and 2. So I know a little bit on that side as well because, yeah, you wanted to give yourself knowledge on every aspect and do SAQ course, speed, agility, awareness, and stuff course. And then I started to do goalkeeping school, one in Tranmere, one in North Wales, one in Liverpool, scouting my own goalkeepers for Tranmere and doing goalkeeping days in the holiday and stuff. And yeah, when I was 38, I got the chance to join Liverpool, really do the reserve team on my first year and the whole academy, oversee the academy and coach all the kids from under 8 to the reserve team, basically. And after 1 year, Benitez, the manager at the time who gave me the contract, left. And then I got asked to join the first team and been there since ever up until now. And that is 15 years later with the first team, basically.
So it's a long, long experience and
That's a little bit the road I had up to now.
yeah. Okay, we can jump the question of your 15 years in the first team or the Liverpool. What has changed in football during that period?
Change in the football quite a lot, especially in Liverpool, from say one fitness coach to cookers in the canteen, one analyst who works with videotapes and stuff, and maybe five physios. If you look how big it is now, we have like, I think in the kitchen we have probably eight cookers and six or seven people serving in different time scales, and we have four fitness coaches, so we have about 15 physios and four analysts for the games. Also coaching wise, when I started there was like first team manager, assistant manager, and the goalie coach and a fitness coach. So now we have two assistant managers, three goalie coaches at this present time, obviously the four fitness coaches, and we have like a youth development coach, if you like. So the crew has become a lot bigger. So a lot of change, a lot more expansion. The numbers on players stays the same, but all the things around the team been more organized, nutrition, food intake, the quality of food, the protein shakes and everything else what comes with it, everything get tailored especially for the players. So obviously you have, before we had no nutrition, but we have three now who look after the team and the food.
So the resources have expanded.
Yeah.
And what about football itself? Because it's a huge resources now compared to 15 years ago. And how about football? What are the main impacts to the development to the football, Liverpool playing style or this kind of a...
Yeah, obviously, when the owners took over Liverpool, that was about pretty much when I came, just after I came, probably 14 years ago, they took over the club. And then everything improved. As I said, the numbers, that is also because they invested more and more in the staff around the team. Also in the quality of players. Obviously, they started with, I think, Kenny as the manager. They started with Kenny, and then they give Brendan Rodgers, the young coach, the chance to make the next step in his career, because they are very much about young, enthusiastic people who want to improve. And that's what they did. They improved the squad. They got younger players in. They make a whole recruitment team behind the scenes with scouts and everything. And so try to find the right players and stuff. Obviously, that didn't come always off. We got a lot of young players who come from different countries, but not really could make the next step always. And some did and some didn't. And then obviously, in the end, Brendan Rodgers left and they signed Jurgen Klopp. And from that moment, obviously, all things changed for the better. He created like that the players got in a better shape, in a better way of play, more attacking mind, clear structure, but also bring more joy to the supporters and got the supporters really back behind the team and, you know, make everyone together, if you like, in the whole club. And I think the boss is really responsible for that. Next to the football brand he created by high intensity counter-press style and, you know, entertaining football, if you like. And I think Liverpool way is always attacking football, and he was the right man on the right place on the right time, I think, for Liverpool. And Liverpool is lucky to have him here all that many years, although he decided now to obviously step back in the end of the season. So it's a big step for the new man to come in to fill.
How is your role in this top level team and this kind of top performance team? So
my role is really to manage the goalies and keep the goalkeeping squad together, if you like, and get the program for each individual goalkeeper the best they can be. So the right program for number one, two, three. And obviously we're working most of the times with 5 to 6 goalies and then try to improve everyone, get them to the next level. you know, make sure he's playing in the reserves or the 18s, communicate with the goalkeeping coaches in the academy. Obviously, have an assistant coach and Taffarel joined because Ali always wanted to work with him from Brazil. So yeah, managing that side and try to create the best training plan on every day for them to improve, and obviously try to scout the best goalies we can be as well, to have the best goalkeeping scout squad we can have, because you obviously need good goalies. You know, if one is injured, you need to have the number two ready to be able to do the job, and obviously number three is moving then to number two, so you need a bit quality in that too, because obviously you are always under pressure. If you play for Liverpool, you have to win every game, so you need someone who can win you a game as well, and the goalkeeper is really important in that place. And yeah, that's a little bit my role. My role is obviously making goalkeeping meetings the day before the game to basically show what the opponents do with corners, free kicks, or pressing the goalkeeper in open play or with goal kicks, and where the spaces are to play and how to handle in different situations. But we talk on the field already in the week leading up to the next game about what their strengths are, what they do, some exercises we make to replicate movements they do, and try to brain train basically the goalkeeper to know what he can expect and what he has to deal with.
What is the main changes in goalkeepers as a player role during the last 15 years or 20 years? It has changed a lot.
Maybe for the outside world. In my philosophy, it never changed, because I was a playing goalkeeper myself in Holland. And in Holland, we always brought up by playing with the feet. Obviously, the rule changed, if you like. But I was already, when I was 14, playing in the first team, told I need to play high lines and try to defend the space behind the defense outside the box as well. So my way of teaching has always been like, you know, goalkeeper need to be all around in everything you do. You need to be able to kick left foot, right foot. He has to be good in 1v1, come for crosses, good shot stop, positional play good. So pretty much all around. And that's why I think I also went to from Tranmere to Liverpool, because I always were teaching that way. And in Liverpool way is a little bit like Ajax. They want the goalkeepers to be able to play and be all round. And that's how we try to teach every goalkeeper in the academy from under eight up. And that's also how we scout. We're looking for the goalies like that. And obviously, hopefully we have the good quality goalkeepers we need. And I think we have probably at this moment in time pretty much the best goalkeeping school Liverpool probably ever had in their history, with number one, two and three, who all can play anytime and can win us a game. And I'm pretty happy with the situation, but I worked also hard on that to create that, to be honest, and signing the right goalkeeper helped with that. You know, obviously we signed Ali when he was at Rome, but I was looking at Ali already in 2013 when he was at Internacional, and following him from that moment. So like I do with goalkeepers I like in the way of play, and if they do well, to keep monitoring their progress. And Keller we signed when he was 15 in the academy. He came on trial and he was not too expensive. That made the difference also for us to take this chance, because he was not really tall at that moment, but he was really agile and could play with his feet. And we thought, okay, you know, we can gamble on his height, because maybe he will grow a little bit longer, and you know, everything else we can teach. And we, at the same time, I think we had Camille Grabara as well. We signed him from Poland. He was also 15. He played in the under 16 for Poland. So we had two good young goalies. Before, we had also like Danny Ward, for instance, and Peter Kulaksi. And Danny Ward we sold for 12 million to Leicester. And Kulaksi we sold to Salzburg, and plays obviously still at Leipzig now. So, you know, the plan is always, from my point of view, to create the goalkeeper a career. And if that can be in League One or League Two, it doesn't matter, you know, like a goalkeeper like Shamal George plays now after he went from us to Colchester, now in Livingston in the Scottish Premier League. So you try to create for them a living and tell them what to do, try to teach them the right way of play, how we want to think. I think if you create all-around goalkeepers who can do everything, then they can always play in a defensive team, and who just want them to come for a cross and kick the ball as far as they can. So we want the goalkeepers to be able to do that. At the moment, we have, for instance, Fijaros, he's on loan at Sturm Graz, and he looks like he can make the next step again. So that is good. It's a good level. And that's how you try to work and think and help the goalies with.
What do you see the future of football, or what is the football is going to be in 20, 30 or 5 years period, and what kind of a demand it will lead to the goalkeepers?
Yeah, I think for demands wise, because the football program is looking to be like 12 months non-stop, really, that means you need to create some weeks off as well for players, so you know they need to break here and there as well. So I think teams could go to bigger squads, more goalies, more players, so they can rotate. You know, if you work on the intensity and play on the intensity that we do, then obviously, you know, it's also a risk for injuries, so you have to be a bigger squad. And you know, there will be still, you see how much intensity it changed over the last year, and can that be improved? That's possible. The next step, it will be improved. There will be more technology coming in, all these kind of things to make it probably more interested. But in the end, the referee will still decide if you get the penalty or not the penalty, like we see much often. And that is the situation, really.
So football evolution is going that the more and more players and the more games also,
yeah.
you have to be ready every day. So the injuries and so on, how do you see if the goalkeepers are injured? So what are the process you are taking them through?
If you know, obviously we just had it with Ali, really, that he was injured, but yeah, you have to find always the right balance. You know, you have to, I call the goalkeeper a jumping athlete, you know, because he has to be athletic, he has to be quick, he has to be powerful. And so that's how we try to teach them. But also your strength training needs to be in that way to protect the knees, the joints, shoulders, elbows, wrists, for the high intensity and the high impact on the shot. So, you know, they have to improve their body strength on shoulders and all the joints to overcome this kind of situation. And the stronger they are, the better they can cope with the load. On the other side, they still have to become and stay athletic and become faster and more powerful, but not become like doormen, square and slow. So that needs special training and a special way of work as well. So you're working with the fitness coaches on that in the gym. Ideally, for the goalkeepers, you have just a specific fitness coach that will happen in the future for sure. You'll have an analyst specially for the goalkeepers to make clips for them and show them and stuff like that. So all that can be still take to the next level. We in Liverpool are pretty lucky that we can manage all this ourselves, but on other clubs is the resource not so big, but if they can, that would be a big help to make the next step for them as well. And then you have to be creative as a coach as well. Can you use anything or do anything yourself extra to implement this kind of situations and training and cutting your own clips if there is no resource to help to show them by clips what is good, what can be better in training or in games?
One thing is, as you mentioned earlier, that the nutrition and everything is more detailed now in coaching. What about mental coaching and this kind of a psychological things there? That is also rising star in coaching. How do you see as a goalkeeper coach that, because the goalkeeper is the last gate.
Yeah.
And
you know, as a club, you have to have a kind of psychological help in the club, because if anything goes wrong, the club is protected that way, that they did everything in that way. I think we go overboard a little bit with it, me personal, because when there was no social media, it was actually never came to the table really. But nowadays, if you say one thing, then obviously there is already a problem for mental situations and stuff. But you know, if it can help an individual, for sure, then you need to have it there to help them, because each individual need to decide if they feel they need it. And sometimes a coach can say, maybe it's good to speak to someone. If you have issues on the field or off the field, you have to always help and give them that kind of help. And obviously we have that at Liverpool as well. And some players will use it. Goalies can use it if they feel they need it. I think my personal thinking is like, you know, if you have play for Liverpool, you have to deal with a lot of pressure and handle a lot of pressure. I think you have to handle a lot of people with own opinions, especially with negativity, if something doesn't go well, things like that. And then obviously you have to learn how to deal with it, because with the social media, it can be really negative. But that can also be as a coach, really. So of course, that is one part from it. I never had it when I was playing. I had to find my own way in it. But now everything is there for the needs of the players, the coaches actually as well, if they need to, and the goalkeeper. So, and then each individual need to look for if it's something that can help him or her. And you know everything can help in the end.
A bit back to your coaching philosophy, what are your own key principles as a coach? What makes you as a top level coach?
I think honesty is important, that you always tell the manager what you feel, not what he wants to hear. Have your own opinion on each individual goalkeeper. Try to help them the best you can, you know. I also think coaching is always on a positive side, not on a negative side, because no one wants to be told and that everything he does is wrong. So, you know, there's no one, not a coach or a player who doesn't make a mistake. But what can we do to overcome them mistakes? How can we do it in terms of training? Can we make an exercise for it? Sometimes I make an exercise without speaking about anything, but just to try to get the picture in the head. So if something went wrong, that he can recognize, okay, if I do this in the situation, then I have a better chance for the right outcome. So I think that they are very important, that you treat all the goalies the same. It is a clear structure, who is the number one, number two, you know, but also not be afraid if one goalie is overtaking the other one to make a decision and change, for instance, number two to number three and three to number two. As long as you also have a clear way of telling why this decision has been made and how, in the end, this kind of decision is always laid with the manager. But you as the goalie coach have that also, the responsibility, I think, to refer that to them back and be honest with them and try to help them and be positive with them, because like I said, no one wants to lose a place. So you always try to find a way together to keep going and go again, because we need every goalkeeper in the department. You cannot win with one goalie every game. You know, you need all the goalies to help each other. You know, you cannot overload two goalies and not have any help from the number three or four or number five goalie. So everyone has his place, and we try to create the right environment. You know, individual, what they have to improve in the gym, on the field, but also, you know, we can speak to them a little bit before training, how things are going in the house, or if there's any issues and stuff. Although I don't go too much in the family side, because I think that is more private to them, but they always can talk to me. I always have a good relation also with them, that, you know, if they have to tell me if they have like a small issue, where if we say make a kicking session and he feels a little bit in tight groin or tight, that he tells me that he should not do it really. So we also have a duty to make sure we try to keep them as fit as they can be in that way, and you know, not think they are machines, but they are Rolls Royce. You have to treat them in the right way, if you like.
And maintain also.
And maintain, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. One thing for me is, as a football coach, is a leadership. I'm really keen about leadership and learning to be a better leader. But how do you see? You are one of the top clubs in the world.
Yeah.
How do you describe this kind of a, what is a good leadership?
I think Klopp shows that every day, I think, to the people. You know, he has a clear way of work. He shows who is the boss. He is not afraid to make decisions, but he is also treat everyone as a right, normal person. He has no different thinking about anyone, treats everyone the same. And I think that is really important, but everyone knows that he is the boss and make the final decision on everything. One of his saying is, I can be your mate, but I cannot be your best mate, because in the end I can only play 11 players. But what I will say is, I need all of you, because we cannot win anything with only 11 players. We need the whole squad to deliver every time when they are there and when they are delivered, and stick together as a team and don't feel negative if something doesn't work and be negative in the squad. And I think that is what he is really try to maintain and create, that there are a friends group, but also not afraid to tell them individual what they have to do to be successful. And if someone doesn't give and put everything in, he will call him in and speak to him individual. He never criticized anyone working with him in the open. He always keep it inside. And I think that is pretty good thing to have as well.
Let's go a bit to the junior side and an academy model. Can you briefly describe the Liverpool's academy model and maybe changes during the years?
I think on the outfield side, they're looking for players who can move well, be mobile, quick, fast, strong. So they're looking a lot to that, and then try to create their way of play is being technical good, tactical good, and having good ball skills. On the goalkeeping side, I already told you that I want all-round goalkeeping coaching from on the eight or to the first team. So that's what we try to do with all the coaches. We try to create the all-round goalkeeper. And that means you have to try and sign also the right profile. A goalkeeper who is going to be tall enough to be a goalkeeper, especially in the English game. I think most goalkeepers in the Premier League nowadays, they are definitely between 6'2" and 6'4". And yeah, very rarely they are below that. And you see in Europe that changed a little bit more as well. But there is for everyone a possibility. There's also some smaller goalkeepers who play in Holland or in Spain. But I think in general, it looks like that there'll be more taller goalkeeper in the right way. And our vision is really, we're looking between 188, 6 foot two, till about 194, 195, 6 foot four, five. But they have to be mobile and athletic and moving quick and powerful, if you like. That is the way we're looking for.
About the academy model and the junior players, how to attract young players to Liverpool? What makes you different?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit a tricky one, because in the rules you can only sign players in 1 hour radius, so that means you have to compete with City, United, Everton and Liverpool, so everyone is fighting for the same players. So you have to find a way as a club to attract the ones you want, and you probably have to compete with the other clubs as well, which means that I think there will be ways of try to negotiate with the parents to see if they want to come your way or go the other way. And I think they are all competitive and try to do everything. I think they get treated already well too early with everything you can think of. You know, you get the boots and the gloves and the training gear and all that stuff, facilities, everything is already there for them. Some already get picked up with the minibuses and brought away. Some get a school sorted for them, all to give them the best chance to succeed, really. And I think every club try the hardest in that way, and especially the ones who have more resource will try to get the attractive betters in how they're going to use the resources to make it happen. And clubs are not afraid to try to sign a player from each other as well.
Yeah, that's true. So when you have recruited people or get the player inside, how do you develop players? What are the key parameters or this kind of a, how do you evaluate and go the whole?
From the goalkeeping side, I think I said a lot already. Basically, yeah. I'm looking for a goalkeeper who is athletic, wired in body shape, is athletic already, moves well, who can be quick moving. And obviously, I think the technical side, the tactical side, we can all teach them how to dive, how to move, how to jump. We can make the gym program, but they can improve individual in body strength. Obviously, with the younger ones, it's only about their own body, what they can work with in terms of push-ups, sit-ups, and core stability exercises, jumping exercises, single legs, double legs, things like that, feet work forward, backward, sideways. Controlling the body is important for a goalie, so controlling exercises that you don't kick your legs forward, that you keep your shoulders in control, you don't drop your shoulders, things like that. There is a lot of this kind of things, but all that you can teach. In the end, the decision making, that's what the keepers have to do in game situations, in five-a-sides, in the games, but on specific goalie training, if you can get every goalkeeper at least 3 hours a week to train individual goalkeeping stuff, you can teach everything. And what I mean is every goalkeeper should work every week on every aspect of goalkeeper. If that's 1v1, crosses, low crosses, shot stopping, positional play, distribution, left foot, right foot, throwing, left foot, right foot, left hand, right hand, all this kind of stuff, you should repeat every week all these exercises to make them technical and tactical better in the goal. And then next to it, they can go in the team training on the shooting exercises and on the five-a-side to improve their decision-making and the reactions and the skills. And for sure, and I did it in Tranmere and I did it in Liverpool, that the goalies will come through if you stick with it. But I also think that it's really important that you believe in the goalie, that it will come through. You have to always think ahead. You don't think ahead, okay, you have to search if he has the right mentality and stuff and assist all that. And if you assist, if he makes the next step. But you always have to keep in mind that if the goalie will be in the end 6-2, 6-3, you can make him a career. But what happened a lot, especially when before I came to the academy, is at 13, 14, they send the goalies away because obviously they have to defend a big goal and don't think about, okay, but if they are growing and get taller, then it'd be easier. And you have to think through that period when, but now they have like three quarters goals, but then they didn't have them. So I was always thinking, okay, we have to stick with that because I know it will happen. And I took Jamal from Tranmere to Liverpool and people wanted to send him away every year when he was 12, 13, 14. And I said, no, he stays with us because I know he will make a career. He will be tall enough, you know, and in the end, you know, he's playing at Liverpool. This is a good level. If it would be League Two, it's a good level. That is the aim. But if you think, yeah, that, okay, at this moment in time, he is not doing well enough. See you later. You're losing a lot of talent as well. So you have to stick with the talent and what you see. But it's a speciality as well to have this thinking. And I had it in Tranmere because, for instance, Liverpool sent the under 14 goalkeepers away. And I said, I'll take them. And one decided to go to Blackburn and one came to me. And the one who went to Blackpool, still playing now in Huddersfield, the other one plays in the League of Wales. So what I'm saying is if you stick with them, they make a career and that is important. So, but sometimes the problem is that there's too many voices around to want to make a decision. And I think if you have an experienced goalie coach, then you should also take in account what he thinks and how he thinks and, you know, look further than a period where they're still growing and they're not tall enough, but knowing that they will be tall enough. And I think that is the really important thing on that side.
We have discussed in Finland the talent and of course the hard work. Yeah. How do you see the compare the talent, talented player and the hardworking player? So. Is it the? You have to combine those things.
Yeah, no. You need both because you need also the hardworking one because the mentality can bring him higher than the talented one. But you have to find the right position for the right player, and I think you have to encourage both, and the talent one to try to get a little bit of the mentality of the guy who hasn't not much as a talent, but better in mentality, to change it around. So the one with the better mentality, can you get him better on the technical and the tactical side? And then you can still make that decision. But from the outfield perspective, I don't get too much involved. But in my opinion, what I will say is if you need to create center halves in your club, you cannot put a boy there who's going to be 4'5" in the end. It's not fair to the boy. And you know, as a club, you will never use him there as a player. So you have to look at, okay, which player going to be tall enough? Okay, we need two center halves. They need to be tall players. So in the start, they might not be as mobile as the nice players. But why should you play nice players in that positioning when they're never going to be playing in that position? And that is me personal, how I see it. And it's the same with the goalies. As a striker, it can be anyone. It can be a tall striker. It can be a smaller striker because you have smaller and tall strikers. I think as a six, it's a mixture as well. You know, you always have to think about if you want the correct team, you need probably in the end, in the Premier League, you need like four players who are 6'2", to help you with set plays and corners and stuff. So you need a mix, and around there you can have a lot of energy and speed. And if you just have energy and speed, you will fall short in your set play situations, which can be big too. So it's I think tricky, but there's a lot of thinking goes in behind, I think. And I'm pretty sure you in Finland will do the same when you have this kind of discussions with all your youth coaches and the national team coaches. How are we going to look for the best players, and what is the aim? What do we want for the future?
Yeah, that's true. Yes, yesterday was a Finnish goalkeeper, Lukas Radeski,
won the German Bundesliga.
So it's also quite amazing. And also
he's having a good career now. He's been there for quite a while in Germany. I watch him often enough in games and write some reports on him and stuff as well.
Yeah. One thing is only the small percentage of academy players are going to the first team. Going out from the club, how do you watch them? Do you watch them, or is it because... This guy went to Huddersfield
If I talk from the goalkeeper's point of view, it's my job. I watch every goalkeeper if they go out on 16. I basically in the academy I watch the goalkeepers from 16 up, because if I think they're good enough, then I can take them earlier to the first team. That's one. So I watch if they play on a Saturday in the 16s, on the 17s, and the reserve team. I watch all the highlights of the goalkeepers, so I know what they do. And sometimes I ring the coach and say, oh, I saw this and that. I think he should do better this, or he should improve this side, and you need to be working with that on this side. The other thing is, if I think they are ready, I think Camille and Keller, Krabara after 6 months I took to the first team training full time, and Keller probably after 1 year, and then they still play in the reserve team or in the 18s, and I swapped them around because they were both the same age. So one time he plays in the reserves and the other in the reserves, and then I swapped them around because I wanted to create everyone a chance. And you know, I don't look like, oh yeah, he is the best one for me, or I look at who can make a career. They are the ones we need to give games. And then in the end, they will decide who gets the best level and who needs to make a move. And that's how I always look. And this season, we couldn't get two goalkeepers out on loan. And I said to them, yeah, we have three goalkeepers. Unfortunate, all three have to play. So we're going to rotate. Then you play only one in three. But you know, in January we got two out, then obviously the one who stays plays every game, and then the other two we follow how they're progressing, what they do in their game, speaking to the goalie coaches from the opponent or where they are, the new teams where they are, and stay in touch with them, ask them what they thought, how it went, if they play, give them feedback from the game. So I write a report on that and put it on the system as well. So I never give up on them, because obviously you're always thinking about, okay, if they do well, maybe they can come back to be in the squad as a number three or as a number two goalkeeper. And that's how you look at them. And for players, I think the scouts probably do it the same, but for coaches, it's, I don't know how they do it. I think in a club like us, we have a loan manager who have to look at them all. And maybe we have two loan managers who look at them. But me personal think from the position I am, I need to know how they are and how they develop. Do I need a new goalie? Do I not need a new goalie? So I don't leave anything unopened or on that I haven't got the knowledge of it. So, and I do that with first team goalies the same. I watch on the 17 tournaments, World Cup, Euros, 18s, 19s, 21s, first team national teams. And I go to the leagues where they create goalkeepers and then try to see if there's a new goalie I didn't know. Then I try to watch a game and I know if it's any good or not. And So I know also knowledge-wise what to do and what is available on the market if we need a number one and number two. But I think not everyone in the club in Liverpool knows that, but the job is 24/7. But I guess that's why I'm there for this long period, because they know I do a lot of homework for them.
Yeah. One thing back to the this kind of a evolution of football, there is a lot of data and statistics and more information in the future. Yeah, how do you see how do we as a coaches, how do we get the real thing or the key issues out from the data and this huge mass of information?
Yeah, I think it's first and foremost, your eye give you information. I think that's important, because the data can say the goalie make 20 saves, but if all 20 balls come straight at him, then you could make them saves as well, and that is not realistic. So I think the data is good to get a backup to what you see, I think. For instance, if you look at an outfield player, on the eye, he looks a good player, and then you get the numbers, and then they say, oh yeah, but he cannot, he doesn't get above this kind of speed, accelerations, decelerations, he doesn't cover enough distance in the game, things like that. So again, I think the eye tells you a lot, and then hopefully that data can back it up. Sometimes data can give you a player, and then you have to look at does it fit the way you see it or not. I think it's a little bit both ways. It's good it's there. Is it perfect? I don't think so, but it's good to have this data. To be honest, I had not used it with any of the goalkeepers I'd signed. I just said, okay, this is what I see, and I'm pretty sure the club will have looked at the data after that. But that is just, to give the confirmation, I guess.
So it's a wisdom.
it's good to know, because some clubs live on it, no? And I think our club is big on it as well. But in the end, they also sign players, young players, on data who didn't make it. So so you need good knowledge from the coach's point of view as well. And then hopefully you can put everything together and then get the right decision.
What about coaches and a coach development? How do you do it at Liverpool?
Like I said to you before, I do a lot of speaking to them. We have most coaches who are with us, they've been a long time there. Then the younger coaches we have, they've been most of the times there as a player. So they actually know already what kind of things we want of the goalies and how we want to work it. I'm a guy who like to help any goalkeeping coach. So I do like a lot speaking on goalkeeping conference and give my knowledge, my way of work, if you like, and any experience I have. Like, I have a strong philosophy and I always stick with it. And if people ask me why I do this or that, I will give them the answer. But yeah, I enjoy this kind of thing. So I've been USA, Croatia, Holland, I think Norway I've been as well, USA loads of times. So Italy, I think as well, Italy I've been. So Poland, it depends where they ask me to come and talk and if I can fit it in the program. I have done it. So yeah, and in the summer I do a lot of coaching boys and girls. So I'm coming over to Finland with Jonas, his company, and Yuri, and do Tampere and Vaasa. We are. And I'm going to Norway, to Stavanger, and then I go to USA, I think in California I am, and Daytona, and in Houston. And then, I teach boys and girls technical, tactical skills of goalkeeping, and I enjoy doing that. So it's another side to do next to being working for Liverpool.
Yeah. So, the last question I have is about the coaching tips for Finnish coaches.
Yeah.
not especially for goalkeeper coaches, but
No.
all junior coaches. What
Yeah.
are your message to our?
I think the message is really try to get yourself as much qualifications, get them done as early as you can. Try to look at other coaches, at other clubs to get information how things can work. But also the main thing is how to learn is to do it yourself. So, you know, working in your own club helps. The more you practice, the more you will improve. Look at individual players with positioning he or she plays. What are the most important things? What this player has to develop on his positioning, know all these coaching points, try to oversee them and help them with that. And I think there's a lot out there in on YouTube what you can watch as coaches as well, following professional coaches as well, listen to what they say, how they do things, and look at how they coach. And I think the more effort you put in, the more you want to develop and help, the higher you can go. And I always say, and I will say, hard work pays off, you know, and that's what I always have done. And that's when you have a little bit luck and bring you to a good club. But obviously, you need to have a bit quality as well.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you. Thank you very much. And it was a pleasure to talk with you in this our junior coaches podcast. And I really enjoyed.
No problem.
For the last words, John is now in Vaasa, first in May, and then after that in Tampere in a football event. It's kind of a seminars, so
yes.
I will be also joining Tampere event.
Okay, good. So, well, then I'll see you there, and hopefully we see many girls and boys who want to improve their skills there, and we can help them.
And I wish the best luck also, because the winners need luck for Liverpool, and also the success for this season. Season is still going on and really, really exciting.
Yeah, let's see what we can do. Hopefully we can win all our last games and then see where it can bring us, starting on Thursday in the Europa League on a hard away game after losing the home game 3-0. Be not easy, but hopefully we can give it a shot. And then we away to Fulham, another tricky game. There's no easy games, so we have to fight and be ready every game.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your invitation, and hopefully they enjoy it.
Thank you, John.
No problem. See you later.